you're running for another term in Des Moines. Why are you wanting to continue to serve this area in Des Moines?
Well, I think, you know, I've been in the legislature two terms, and I think it's incumbent upon me to continue what I've started with some of the issues that I'm concerned with. You know, we're talking about a lot about, in the last session, a lot about property tax relief in this commercial area, and that's one of the things I'm serving on the Ways and Means Committee, and it's important, I think, to try to get a resolution to that. That's been worked on for about 30 years now, and we haven't come up with a resolution yet. Although there were a couple of areas that we did address last time and a couple of bills that was passed out of the House, even though I didn't vote for them because I didn't think they were fair, that did not go anywhere in the Senate. And so the Senate sent those back to us with their version, and that didn't get past the House. And my real opposition to those has been that the fact that we're taking commercial property tax relief and adding the burden to residential and agricultural because of the fact that local government's got to make that up somewhere if you're going to take it away. So what we got to do, I think, is do it on a very metered basis over a number of years. We haven't reached that plateau yet, I guess, in the legislature.
Do you have a time frame? Would you like to see it? I know there's been talk 8, 10, 12 years. Do you have a time frame that you would be comfortable with to gradually implement this?
Yes, actually, the Senate version was something like 10 years or 12, maybe even longer. And I did vote for that, so it didn't pass the House. But I did vote for that. I thought it would be reasonable. It's still something that local governments are going to have to make up. But maybe over that period of time, normal growth will kind of blunt the increases in the residential and agricultural tax base.
How low should commercial property taxes go? Obviously, they're at 100% now. How low should they go?
Well, you know, residential right now is taxed somewhere in the vicinity of 50%. It varies because of the different valuations and the rollback and all that. And agricultural is based on output, with the value of the crop that comes off the land and so forth. So I would say, you know, somewhere in the area of 50-60% would bring it down to fairly close to what the other classes of property are taxed at.
The governor has talked a lot, too, about lowering corporate income taxes, saying that is a key to bringing in jobs. Is that something that you would support also?
Well, the corporate income tax, you can look at it a couple of different ways. I think if you look at Iowa overall, our tax burden isn't any different than we're about average. We're about right at the 50 percentile mark in the way that we tax overall. So I don't know if I would really, I'm not sure I would support that. Corporate income tax is a very small part of the state's income anyway, and bringing it down, I don't know, this would be fair to the other classes of property. I'd certainly look at it, and I'd certainly look at the benefit that it would have, and if we could tell if it would bring in a lot more business, I would certainly be open to it, but I've got my doubts about that.
What other ideas do you have? Obviously, jobs, raising or lowering the unemployment rate are some of those key areas we've talked about in the past for your goals. What are some of your other ideas to help bring jobs to this area, bring down that unemployment rate?
Well, and I generally answer the question when news folks ask me about what my priorities are. There's three of them: jobs, jobs, and jobs. And to do that, it's a complicated factor. Now, the state has taken on the revamp of the Economic Development Authority. I think it's a little too early to see if that's working well. It just started this past year, but it might be something that was, you know, not a bad idea. It might be something where we do the private-public sector gets together and works on those kinds of things. The private sector hasn't come through yet, but it takes time. A year is not enough time to get the private sector involved enough, you know, financially and with all the other items that they might bring to the table. But I think that's one of the key issues that we can work on and maybe continue to work on that Economic Development Authority in the state, at the state level. Some other things is most what I hear, especially in our area and other areas that include manufacturing and businesses, skilled workforce. I don't think we have in place a good enough system, and this has got to be through community colleges mostly. system to bring about the skills needed for the folks that are looking for jobs. We need to do something more in that area. And although I always say, you know, we got 60% of our budget going to education right now in the state, this is probably one area where we're lacking. We need to get with our community colleges, help them develop a better tailored educational system for the locations where they are. You know, this area of manufacturing is pretty heavy. We ought to be tailoring community college educational opportunities towards those areas where manufacturing can benefit. Siemens is an example, even though they're going to lay off because of a number of factors that we probably had no control over, one of them being the law that provides for tax benefits for wind energy not being passed by Congress. Second, natural gas prices had a little bit to do with it. I think they had worked with the community college to bring in some particular training for fiberglass work, similar to body work on cars, that many of their employees needed. And that's the kind of thing we need to do, is tailor the community college offerings to those areas that need the employee skills.
Would it help also to reopen some of the workforce development centers, or was the governor's plan the right way to go about this?
No, the governor's plan was not the right way to go. I very much disagreed with that. And in fact, I thought it was a slam to our area because of the last year, this past year, we could have kept them open because we had the funding available already. Wouldn't have cost the taxpayers any more than what we have already spent. But they still went ahead and closed them. I was real disappointed in that. I've talked to many people that have went to the satellite locations, such as a library and areas. It is not like nose-to-nose, face-to-face type of conversations and assistance they get when they go to a workforce development center. I think it was a mistake. I'd like to see them reopen. I doubt we'll see that. I certainly don't want to see any more closed, and that's on the horizon, too, on the governor's plan.
How do you reverse that and get them open? What needs to be done?
Well, for one thing, you got to provide the funding. Now, there's a lot of federal funds that we gave up when we closed those, because there's funding, not 100%, but there's a lot of funding comes from the federal government to keep those areas open, and I think we need to reintroduce that bill, bring them back if we can. I doubt if the makeup of the legislature remains the same in the House, and of course we have the governor's got veto power. I doubt we're going to get that done in the next 2 years, but I think we should try.
You touched on it early on. Education is such an important aspect, just even starting off at the preschool, kindergarten level on through K through 12. What needs to be done? The governor has called for a lot of reforms, additional testing, even possibly holding students back. What do you see? What is your vision for education in Iowa?
Well, I think the studies have proven that we do need to, as I talked about earlier, kind of tailor our educational offerings to those folks that that need it, especially in the manufacturing or in the business areas. But one of the things I was disappointed with in this administration in the last couple of years was the desire to eliminate preschool. I think the earlier you start a child on the educational journey, the better off you are. And preschool is an excellent opportunity. You hear that from almost every educator, that preschool is very important. It starts them, with an opportunity to learn at a very young age, to get prepared even for kindergarten, for first grade, and it follows them all through at least grade school, if not high school. So I think it's very, very important we continue that, and we have continued that even with the objections from the administration and the attempts to eliminate it. If not eliminate it, at least make it less free in the area of free education that we've had for most all of our, secondary level of education. I think we need to do that. That would be one thing I would certainly push for and strongly urge. The other thing is we need to get with our educators, those people that have contact with the student. You know, the person doing the job, regardless of what it is, teaching or in a plant or in a business, they know the job best, and they know what they need. They know what's required. And so I think we've failed to do that to a great extent. Although this last year we did have a lot of the governor's workforce, education workforce, did do a lot of that and did ask a lot of teachers and educators, administration to participate in that. That's still being sorted out. We'll see what the end result of that is. Along with that, we tend not to fund the things that they want us to pursue. I mean, this we're going to see a lot of things that's going to cost money. We tend to say, look, let's put this in place, let's put this program in place. And then when it comes down to the budget, all we want to do is cut those things. Well, not everybody, but at least there's a certain segment of the elected officials that in our House, the House of Representatives, that want to always cut. Well, if you're going to cut it after you put it in place, you're not going to have a very effective program.
Another aspect of that, and it's one they've been looking at, you mentioned the teachers and such, there's always the talk of linking job retention and salaries and such to performance. Is that something that you could support?
Well, I think you could do that to some extent. However, I don't think you'd get carte blanche on that. I do think that even the teachers' unions have said that, look, we're willing to work with that and come around and maybe make that part of our retention ladder, if you will. And I think I could support something like that, but I do believe that employees have rights. I come from a union background. I think it's certainly something that we could work with on a reasonable basis. Obviously, if somebody's in the classroom not doing the job at all, can't do the job, then something should be done. We should make some other arrangements.
And you mentioned it. Any union proposals? Each year it seems union proposals, both pro and against, come up and then they just kind of float around. What kind of year would you push any measures? Do you expect any type of measures coming up in Des Moines?
Well, it depends on what the majority party is. This past 2 years, Republicans have the majority in the House. I serve on the Labor Committee. There's nothing that comes up in the Labor Committee that's going to help labor. Let's just face it; that's just not the norm for the majority party right now. We can submit all kinds of bills to the committee chair, and they, if they're not brought forth to the committee, which they have the power, whoever the chairman of the committee is has the power to select which bill comes up for consideration. And then it has to pass the committee and then go to the House floor for a vote. So you haven't seen anything come up that, in my opinion, is going to be good for the working folks, at least in the last 2 years. So I think it's going to be difficult to get anything passed unless the majority changes in the House. We got to turn over 11 seats from my party to make even a bare majority for the Democrats. So that's a pretty tall order. I wouldn't say it's impossible, and this could be a good year, but it would be tough.
There was so much talk kind of tying on to labor, watching what was going on in Wisconsin and the changing of pensions and et cetera. Do you think Iowa needs to look at that, or is Iowa's budget in the place and such where those kind of changes are not needed?
No, I don't think they're needed. And unfortunately, our governor said he admired the governor of Wisconsin in his quest with labor and revising pensions and recognition of unions over there. That's unfortunate because we've always had a pretty moderate view in Iowa. Both business and labor get along pretty well, and I thought that was an unfortunate thing for our governor to say. By the same token, I think that our pension plan, the IPERS, as we call it, the state pension plan, which is also participated in by local governments as well, is in good shape. We're much better shape than many of the states take adjoining Illinois or neighboring Illinois. It's got some tough problems with its budget, and pension is part of that. We don't have that, even though pension funding has based a lot upon market value and investments. They have not been very good over the last few years. They've improved in the last year or so, but over the last 5 years, we've taken a real hit on those. And I think that, if the market continues to improve, and it's frankly right now it's great shape, we'll be fine. Funding is okay. We're not perfect, but we're high level of funding for our IPERS plan.
kind of going back to an issue we touched on earlier with job creation. Obviously, you have the fertilizer plant here, and the state was very involved in that process with a large incentive package. Is that a good approach to take from the state level to offer these types of incentive packages for potential industries? There's been pros and cons for against the idea. Is that a good idea?
Well, you know, I represent Lee County, the 83rd district, a portion of Lee County at least, and I'm certainly not going to criticize that effort by the state. It was a lot of money, and I will say this, that you can't do that for every entity that wants to come into the state of Iowa. You just can't afford it. But I'm certainly happy that Lee County was chosen as the first one to have the largest investment in the state history in the way of money from the state. And many of the local investments are not direct tax money because they would not happen if they didn't move here, because the taxes that they are going to pay will overcome that. And some of the effort that we're putting forth is being taken on by the entity itself, plus the state's money coming in. So it's probably a good investment for the county. As I said, the state can't do that for everyone that wants to do it, though.
There's been so much talk about the gasoline tax. It's been looked at, reviewed, and everything. There's the 8 cents seems to be the number that keeps getting bandied around. If an 8 cent tax were to come up next year in Des Moines, would you support an 8 cent increase?
I probably would. I'd certainly consider it. I've said in the past that I think our roads and streets, highways are in such shape that most people understand why we would need an increase. This may not be the greatest time for some folks to see an increase in the gas tax. It's already at very high levels, just a retail price. But we haven't increased the tax for, I think, 20-some years. And we're about 21 cents a gallon right now in Iowa for state tax. So you got to consider that that's a dedicated fund. That's a road use tax fund. It is not subject to any other budget constraints. It can't be taken from that fund and put into any other fund, can't be transferred. It all goes to the road use tax fund funding as far as repairing and maintaining roads. That goes to local entities too. It's just not the state. It goes to counties. It goes to cities for streets. And so it's important. If you've driven our streets in Keokuk and Fort Madison, if you've driven our roads in the county, you could see where we could use some increased funding for that. I would support probably an 8 or even 10 cents. There's been some talk about 10 cents as an increase, too. I would probably support that.
There's a bus tour, actually some kind of competing bus tours going around looking at, it really focuses on judicial retention in that process. Do you think there needs to be any change in how judges at each level are retained in Iowa?
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with our system. I think, unfortunately, we don't participate in it. Most people don't turn that ballot over and mark the judges. I've asked a lot of people, I don't know them. Why would I vote for or against them? It's up and down. It's not just the Supreme Court. It's the appellate courts and the circuit or district courts too. It's never been done in the past like it was 2 years ago, where one particular organization has taken off after they believe that they made a bad decision. You know, the decision, whether you agree with it or not, all seven of the justices voted for it. And they're interpreting the Constitution. Whether you like the idea or not, it's the Constitution. Now, you know, you can disagree with it, but frankly, I think it was wrong for them to do that. And I certainly encourage people this year to turn that ballot over and vote to retain those. There's three on there that the governor has just appointed. Governor Branstad just appointed three of them. Judge Wiggins is on there, and he's one of the originals of the seven that made that decision on the Marriage Act. So I think we should probably retain them. They're doing their job. If you got a real serious issue with someone where they not followed the law or done something immoral in their life, I guess that might be a good reason to do it. But not if they followed the Constitution, did what they felt like they had to.
Should residents have a chance to vote on a constitutional amendment when it comes to banning same-sex marriage? Should residents be given the right to vote on that?
Well, I have in the past, and that has come up, I've not voted to do that. And the reason I voted not to do it, I'm not willing to put forth and have a campaign that's been put on by the organization that has originally put on the campaign to change or to throw out the judges, something that would take away rights from individuals in the Constitution. Just doesn't seem like the right thing to do. I'm concerned that it's a very passionate, emotional issue. You know, just as we've had them in the past in the United States, where slavery was an issue like that. And, you know, it took years and years to come around to deciding, look, I may not agree with it, I may agree with it, but it is a constitution, in this case of the United States, in our case of the state. And I'm just not real interested in making it available to vote rights away under the Constitution. In the end, maybe I can be convinced otherwise, but I doubt it. I probably have voted against it. I probably will continue to.
Any other issues, ideas that you have that you would want to get across to voters, maybe issues that we haven't covered at this point that you would want them to know?
Well, I think local governments, and I serve on the local government committee as well in the morning, at least so far I have. It'll depend, I guess, on how the election comes out, whether I serve at all next year. But I think we need to be concerned with local governments a little more. We need to make the funding available for them. We've done a lot of things at the state level where we promise reimbursements for things that we haven't followed through with. And that's one of my issues with commercial property taxes. Part of that was because we were going to replace their loss over the, you know, at least for the first few years. I saw what was happened on when I was served on the Lee County Board of Supervisors, when the state promised things like, you know, reimbursement for a homestead, reimbursements for veterans, reimbursement for the machinery and equipment tax that didn't happen. And once that went away, you know, the state at that time promised, in the case of the machinery and equipment tax that we lost, well, you'll have so much increase in the you know, the investment by companies and new companies coming in that'll just fade. Well, that didn't happen in Lee County. We ended up, as I said, eating that, and we had to make it up through residential and agricultural and commercial property taxes. So I always concern when we say we're going to do that, and you can pass a law that says we intend to. You can't commit to a future legislature what they'll do. And that's what happens. We have a change in parties, a change in governor, and we don't follow through on those things because somebody else made the promise. We didn't make the promise.
Final thing, why should you get two more terms? Why should the voters pick Jerry Kearns in the 83rd District?
Well, I think I offer a lot. I've lived here a good many years, and I think my experience will do something for me, although I always say you don't have to have experience to serve in a citizen legislature. I don't think you should have to have. But that is something I think that does make it a plus when you send someone back to the legislature with some experience. I also have a desire to serve, and I've continued to have that my 18 years on the Board of Supervisors. I enjoy that very much. I've enjoyed my two terms so far in the House. I think I can be effective to the extent that we can move things forward in the way of, things we talked about, in the way of education, in the way of jobs. That's what I'd like to go back and continue my work.